Thank you, Pastor Joe. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is so good. Thank you. It is so good to be with you guys this morning and to share God as well. But before I share, I just want to say thank you so much for partnering with me. Thank you so much for joining with me in all that God has called me to do. Your partnership makes a difference. It has helped me to impact many lives around the world, not only in the Caribbean, but around the world. And God is still doing miraculous and marvelous things in the midst of this pandemic. He's still working through us and with us at Youth with a Mission Jamaica to do his bidding. And we are grateful that he has chosen us. And thank you that you are part of it. No matter where I go, you go with me because of your partnership. And you also have an inheritance in the nations of the earth because of your partnership with me. So thank you so much. I've asked Sean to just sing that song for me. Sing it for us one more time. God be magnified. I believe God has something for us today.
Are you looking for just the chorus?
And oh, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me.
Thank you, Lord. Be magnified, Lord God, in me. Be magnified in us, Lord God, this day and beyond. We give you, Father God, the full preeminence in this room today. Come, Lord Jesus, and do what you alone can do. We invite your presence, mighty God. It's not about me, but it's all about you, Father God. And today we trust you. We trust you, mighty God, in Jesus' name. May our hearts, Lord God, be open. May our ears, Lord God, be attentive as you speak in Jesus' name. Be magnified. Amen.
Amen.
I, this morning, want to say to us, I have notes here that I've been working on ever since Pastor Joe asked me to share. I have never been so challenged preparing to speak. Never. I did this. I wrote this stuff up. I'm using a computer that I've never used before. I pressed saved, and it was lost. I actually did it again, and I pressed saved, and guess what? It was lost. It better be. I went through this again, and Pastor Joe is saying to me and Carlin, come, take the computer to Elliot, and we will work it out. We will. And I just felt like, I don't want to put this on Elliot. I believe the Lord has something here. So see me here all the way in Lebanon, Missouri, and I called a friend way down in the Dominican Republic, who I say, she's just like Elliot. And we're talking through this thing, and she's walking me through this process, and we're trying to retrieve this wonderful file that I sat for all these days and wrote up, listening, and I believe the Lord was speaking, and we're going through all this, and we could not retrieve this file. So you know what? I had to sit and do it all over again. This time, with her help, I was able to save my file. And this morning, I got up, and I'm taking my shower, and the Lord said, read to the people Psalm 23. And I'm going, but God, that has nothing to do with the message that I have. Read Psalm 23 to the people. And I'm going, my topic for today is whose counsel will you receive? Whose counsel are we receiving? And God is saying, read to the people Psalm 23. I took my shower. I came upstairs. I made a sandwich. I drank my tea, and Carolyn came up. Is there anything I can help you with today? I said, I'm struggling. And she went, what is up? I said, the Lord is asking me to do something that has absolutely nothing to do with the message today. She started to pray. Do whatever the Lord is saying. And I am saying to you, I'm going to read Psalm 23. I have no idea what God wants with this Psalm 23, but I am receiving his counsel, and I am going to read Psalm 23. I have no idea, friends, what he wants from this Psalm 23, so you pray for me. The Lord is my shepherd. What a thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in, and I'm reading from the New American Standard. Sorry, yes, the New American Standard. Sorry? Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And I'm shaking because I have never been out on a limb like this before. Ah. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I have been zeroing in these past couple days on the life of David. Okay? And I have been looking at how David took counsel from the Lord. And in the last bit of it, I saw when David did not consult the Lord, calamity struck. I don't want to be struck down today. So I am doing what the Lord said. If we are saying that God is our shepherd, do we follow his leading? I have notes here that I want to follow, but I am reading this thing here, and it says, the Lord is my shepherd. If he truly is our shepherd, do we follow his leading? I believe today in this place, there's a stream that God wants us to step into. This morning we were praying upstairs in the prayer room, and I believe, and I mean, I heard different ones say it in here this morning. We've been so much in the old that the Lord wants to do a new thing. And because we are holding on to the old, we can't step in or step over or step into this new stream that the Lord wants us to dip into. He says he is our shepherd and we shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He wants to supply all our needs. He wants us to really know him as the shepherd. Now I'm listening as I speak. I have no notes on this. When God says he's a shepherd, think about a shepherd. And I don't know all of what he's going to say today, so forgive me if I don't. I am looking at David. David was out in the desert tending sheep. And the only person he had out there to talk to was the Lord and the sheep. Think about it. He's out there and the only person, because the sheep, they're animals, he's talking to God and he's leading sheep. And he learned the ways of the Lord by being out there in the desert. There are times we find ourselves in desert places. Who do we go to? Not all the time. We find ourselves in desert places and we're saying the Lord is our shepherd and we go to our friends. Mind you, this good shepherd, he has all the answers. He knows exactly what we need at any given time, but he becomes our last resort. We go to our friend, we go to whomever. But if this shepherd, this good shepherd, is who he say he is, he will lead us into all righteousness. He will lead us where we can't trace him. He will give us the answers that we're so desiring. He says he makes us to lie down in green pastures. Us to lie down in green pastures, and he leads us beside still waters. What are these green pastures that he's making us to lie down in? What are these green pastures? Let's think about it for a minute. And I'm thinking and I'm listening. God, what are these green pastures? There are times that we find ourselves in dire need. And we look here, there, we look everywhere. But God has already prepared the green pastures for us. And we miss it because we look elsewhere. If he is our shepherd, that's the first person or the first place we need to go to. He knows exactly what we have need on of. He said he calls us to lie down beside still waters because he wants to restore our souls. I believe there's a river right now. There's a new flow for us in this place, friends. There's a new flow that the Lord wants us to step into. There's a new flow. There's a new song that he wants us to hear. Not only Sean singing, but there's a new song. There's a song of the Spirit that God wants us to hear. His voice is the one that he wants us to hear. There's a new song. What are we hearing? Are we hearing the song of the Lord? Are we receiving his leading? Are we seeing him as the good shepherd who knows exactly what we want, when we want it? And are we trusting him to be such to us? The Lord is my shepherd. And he wants to restore our souls. What do you need restoring today? What is happening in your soul? What is happening in your soul? Why he's saying he restores my soul, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, not our sake, for his sake. I am thinking through some of the stuff that the Lord had me working on this week, even as I am here. And in this particular season that we're in, we just read the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." But there's also the verse in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Listen to the words. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How does this tie in with the Good Shepherd? He says he is our shepherd. He is also our wonderful counselor. When I think back of the Webster's dictionary description of counselor, it says it's one who gives instruction or give advice to people who are in need of personal assistance. Think about this Good Shepherd and the name Wonderful Counselor. All that we need is in him. He has all the advice that we need. Our Good Shepherd, our Wonderful Counselor, he knows everything that we need. Think about it. He is the all-knowing God. If we're saying that he is the one who's leading us, where do we receive our counsel? He said he is the mighty God. He has all the authority to give us what we need, to restore our souls. He says he's the everlasting Father, which means that he is with us no matter what, no matter where. He is with us. He is everlasting. He's not there sometimes and other times he's not. He is with us, the everlasting Father. And he is the Prince of Peace. He brings peace in every storm. We go through many things. We experience many things, and our feathers are ruffled. But he's there to bring peace. In the midst of every difficult situation, he is there to bring peace. He is our peace. Are we experiencing him as such? The Good Shepherd, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the one who says he's leading us beside streams of living water. Are we experiencing him as such? This is a season where both Christian and non-Christian, believers and non-believers, they're singing this beautiful song, because it's not only written in the scripture, but it is being sung. "For unto us a child is born." It is sung everywhere. If you're like me, you like music, you'll hear it playing in Handel's Messiah. You'll hear it as well. Wonderful Counselor. But this wonderful counselor wants us to trust him. Where do we go to receive this counsel? How do we see this wonderful shepherd? Are we seeing him just as a Santa Claus? Or are we seeing him as one who can be truly trusted? He says, he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This good shepherd wants to comfort. He wants us to know that no matter what we experience, no matter what we face, he is with us. We have no reason to fear because he promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will not allow us to walk through difficult times alone. He is with us continuously. He says he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In this particular season that we are in, many tables will be spread. Who is spreading this table? Or who are we spreading this table for? What is on our table? Is it the ham and the turkey and the whatever else you will have on your table at this season? What is God, this wonderful shepherd, laying out before us? He's laying out life. He's laying out health. He's laying out peace. He's laying out joy. Are we prepared to eat from this particular table, or are we going to be choosing our own table? This is a new season with a different layout, with a different kind of provision. He's laying on this table grace for healing. He's laying on this table faith to believe. He's laying on this table peace for our souls. Do we want to eat from this table? Or do we want the ham and the turkey and the fish and the shrimp? Now, I'm not saying those things are bad, because we need those for the physical body to sustain us. But how much are we eating from his table, from the plate, from the feast he's laying out before us? How much are we eating from that particular table? Are we receiving the sustenance for our spiritual man? Or are we just feeding the spiritual man, the physical man? What are we receiving? He says this is a new season. It's a new day. There's a different stream flowing. Are we willing to step into this stream and eat, feast from this beautiful spread that he has for us? Or do we want to remain eating from the old spread? There's life. He's spreading before us today life. He says he's restoring our souls. He's leading us. He said, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear, for he's with us. He said his rod and his staff, they will bring comfort. On his table, there is comfort. Are we receiving of his comfort? He prepares this table in the presence of our enemies, and he's anointing our head with oil, and our cups will overflow. Are we ready to give out from the overflow? Are we ready to give out from the overflow? If our cups are overflowing, it means that somebody else needs to receive from it. Who are we looking to share this overflow with? Waiting. There's the less fortunate out there waiting. We might step up from this place and see, are we willing to say God loves you? Are we willing to go down the street to the homeless shelter, I don't know where it is here, and share Christ from the overflow? This is a season where a lot of people will be lonely. And God has spread a table here for us. He's given us of himself. We're saying, God be magnified in me. That song, it struck a chord in me when I heard it this morning. God be magnified in me. He's given to us something. How is he being magnified in us in this season? He's spreading this table. And he said, our cups will overflow. And it's overflowing with him. Are we willing to go give from this overflow to those who are in need? And it's not only the physical food, but people need to hear in this season how much God loves them. Even in the midst of their difficult situation, God loves them. Are we willing to sit alongside of them and say, God loves you? Are we willing to put our hands around them and pray for them and encourage them in this particular season with the love of the Lord? To ourselves. In this scripture, the last verse, it says, surely goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy. Now, David was the one who penned this psalm. And there's a lot about David. I'm looking here at some of the stuff that the Lord gave me as well. David understood who God is. He understood that God's counsel is what he needed. In this psalm, David wrote that the Lord is his shepherd. And he understood when he said that the Lord is his shepherd, that he could go to him for anything. David is known as a man after God's own heart. David knew how to seek God out for whatever he needed. Do we know how to seek him out? Do we know how to seek this wonderful shepherd, this wonderful Savior? Do we know how to seek him out? Are we taking the time to seek him out? That's a better question. Are we taking the time to seek this good shepherd out? Not only for ourselves, but for others. He has something for all of us. He has something that he wants to do in us and through us. Are we taking the time to listen to what he has to say? Or do we only go to him when we are in some situations and we can't find help anywhere else? Is he our last resort? I will look at a couple things here. from David's life. David, at one point, did not consult God when he needed to make a decision. And I want to say to us, if we step outside of God first, we will find great trouble. Great trouble will come upon us when we act without first seeking God's counsel. And I look back at what happened to David in 1 Chronicles 13, when he needed to bring the ark back from Abinadab's house. David did not go to God first. He consulted, in verse 1 of 1 Chronicles 13, he consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. He did not consult God first. He consulted with all the assembly. He consulted with everyone else. And then he said to them, if it seems good, and if it is good, consult the Lord first. He consulted everybody else. There's no way in these first verses that tells us that David consulted the Lord. He went to everyone else before the Lord. And then in verse 4 of this same Chronicles 13, it says, then all the assembly said that they would do what David was saying, for this thing seemed right in the eyes of all the people. They were planning to bring the ark, God's ark, back. And they never consulted the Lord. They never received his counsel as to how they should do it. They discussed among themselves. They made the plan among themselves. And something very bad happened. On the way, with all the merriment and the dancing and the tambourines and the everything, they're bringing this ark back on this new cart and whatever. And the cart stumbled and Uzzah stretched out his hand. And the anger of the Lord was aroused. And he struck Uzzah, and Uzzah died. David was afraid. When we don't consult the Lord first, when we don't ask the Lord, how should we do this? God, is this you? Lord, what are you saying to us? When we don't take the time to ask him, we bring great trouble on ourselves. You see, David did not go to the Lord. He did not receive any counsel on how to bring this ark back. But it seems right to the assembly, to all the people, and they did what was right in their own eyes. And Uzzah died as a result of the non-consultation. Who do we consult first? Who do we ask questions of? But David learned a lesson. So we, the book of 1 Samuel. But before we even go there, listen to the words that David said in Psalm 16 and verse 7. He said, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. He got a revelation. He understood the importance of receiving godly counsel. And in the midst of this, he experienced some great moments of victory because he paused to seek the Lord. How often, friends, do we pause to seek God's counsel? How often do we pause and inquire of the Lord before we step out to do something? How often do we pause and say, Lord, I have no idea what to do. I need your direction. I want to say to us today that we have everything to gain by seeking God's counsel and guidance. We have everything to gain. But rather than doing that, we go to the Lord several times. Several times David inquired of the Lord. In 1 Samuel 23, verse 1 and 2, when the city of Keilah was in trouble, David inquired of the Lord, and he asked the Lord if he should go up. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1 and 2. He saved the city. He went up because he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said to go up. But if we look at verse 3, the men that were with him, they were afraid. They were afraid, but David didn't allow their fear to paralyze him. David once more took the time and inquired of the Lord, should I go? And the Lord said, go. And he and his men, because of the counsel of the Lord, they were able to save, deliver the city of Keilah, from the hands of the Philistines. In verse 10 and 11 of that same chapter, David learned that King Saul was coming down to this city, Keilah. Now remember that Saul was after David to take his life. And David learned that King Saul was coming down. And David inquired of the Lord. He said, will these people deliver me? He asked the Lord the question. He did not decide, okay, the Lord just gave me victory here, and I was able to save this city, these people from the Philistines. So I believe I will stay. But he didn't do that. He cast his cares upon God and inquired of him. And this time when he inquired of God, he used God's covenant name. Do we know his covenant name? Are we in covenant with him? David used God's covenant name when he inquired of the Lord. He said, Lord God of Israel. It is always a blessing to recognize our covenant relationship with God. And David experienced this. You see, when David learned that King Saul was coming down to Keilah, he had every good reason to believe that these people will protect him, that they would be on his side because he just delivered them. But even though he had that strong conviction, he did not put his confidence in them. He did not trust their loyalty. He went to the Lord. He consulted the Lord. He sought the Lord's counsel. And he asked the Lord, will they deliver me? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. There are times when we take counsel from the wrong people, or we reason out things in our own heads and we don't seek God's counsel. But David sought God's counsel, and the Lord told him, yes, they'll deliver you. And David had enough time to pack up with his men and leave. Whose counsel are we seeking? Whose counsel today are we seeking? When we look at the ways that David sought the Lord's counsel, it should speak to our hearts. I'm just using some of the stuff that the Lord gave me here previously because I felt like he wanted me to read Psalm 23. But when we look at the ways that David sought after the counsel of the Lord and how the Lord responded, it should speak to our hearts. It should help us to know that we should not depend nor expect anything from others who we have done good for. Our dependence should only be on the Lord for his guidance and protection. You know, there are times when we do things for people. We go all out and we help them. And then when we're in desperate need, they don't come through for us. But David did not look at that, even though he had all good reason to think that these people will be on his side because of what he just did for them. He sought God's counsel and handed over to King Saul. The Lord graciously answered David, regardless of how many times he inquired of him. David inquired many times. He sought God's counsel many times, and the Lord was not tired. And I want to say to us today that the Lord will never get tired of us inquiring of him. He will never get tired of us asking for his counsel. I want to let us know that he is pleased. He is honored when we seek him out. It's an invitation. He invites us. And he is honored and he is pleased. He says to us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God," not to man, to God. He has everything that we need. David's many inquiries of the Lord revealed that he was a man of prayer whose intent was to know his will and to do it. How much time are we spending in prayer, seeking the counsel of the Lord? He wants to speak to us. He wants to give us the answers that we're desiring. He wants to lead us in paths of righteousness. Because of how David sought after the Lord, this is one of the main reasons that he's called a man after God's own heart. So this morning, friends, I want to say to us, may the Lord give us grace to follow David's example, to pursue the habit of always inquiring of God, and not only inquiring, but waiting for the answer. We inquire sometimes, talk to the Lord, I ask the Lord, but did we wait to receive the answer? No, we run ahead at times. And we miss it. But my prayer for us today is that as we pursue the habit like David of inquiring of the Lord, that we will wait for his answer as well. May we, friends, in all our ways acknowledge him and allow him to direct our paths. That's paraphrased from Proverbs 3 and verse 6. The Lord wants to counsel us. He wants to help us. He wants to walk alongside of us. He wants to speak to us and through us. Will we allow ourselves to receive his counsel so that his name will be glorified? That's a question that we all need to think about and process. Will we allow ourselves to pursue him like David did, receive his counsel, and wait for the answers that he has for us? May God give us grace and peace to do such. In Jesus' name, amen.